Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Thanks for tuning in today. We are always appreciative when you find us on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. with the rebroadcast Sundays at 7:30 p.m. So whichever time you're listening, we thank you. Our guest for this segment is Jackie Dykus. She has been on our show before. Welcome back, Jackie.
Thanks, Julie. Glad to be here.
Jackie is a registered dietitian. The last time we spoke with her, it was focused on her new book called Finish Line Fueling, An Essential Guide to Runner's Nutrition, of which we both have a passion. We both like to run. She's much faster, though, which is fine. So we are going to shift our focus for this segment and talk about some other adventures that you have been on. Specifically, you and your husband are opening a brewery in Westfield, Indiana.
Yes, we are.
It's called Field Brewery. Where'd you come up with the name?
You know, it kind of has multiple meanings. Westfield has field in kind of the name there, so that's the obvious.
Didn't even think about that.
Yes. And we're surrounded by beautiful corn fields and soy fields and just farming fields in general. And kind of the third element was that we're the home of the great Grand Park, which is a lot of sports fields.
Oh, right. Now, the location of Field Brewery is what? Where is it? Where are you guys located?
It's right in downtown Westfield. We're on Main Street. We're the heart of the Westfield, kind of the eclectic area of Westfield that's growing. But we're on the east side of Main Street, or 32, just east of 31.
I'm looking at the Facebook page, and I see some pictures. There's a few of the decor and the inside. You're still putting finishing touches on everything, aren't you?
We sure are. We're in the final stages of kind of the interior elements, and we've got a little bit more of the construction to complete, but we're plugging right along.
It's beautiful. So who did you help with the design? I'm thinking you did.
I did, actually. I took on a little bit more than I even expected to, but it's been a lot of fun. It was a little anxiety provoking, but I think it's turning out really nice.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. So let's talk about, I don't know much at all about beer. So talk to me about why a brewery, and then let's talk beer.
Yeah, well, you know, Greg and I spent a little bit of time in Seattle. We lived there for 1 year, about 10 years ago. And from that experience, we took away just a great appreciation for how a local brewery can have great food and beer and represent their local community. And Greg's always been a brewer, and we've always appreciated craft beer, but it kind of took a deeper meaning for us. So we returned and we thought, boy, we'd love to create a setting like that in our community where it's a space where people feel like they can gather, hang out, and really just enjoy each other's company while being in a setting with really great beverages and really great food. So not just your typical pub food, let's say.
Yeah, no, I'm sure not with your background. So you and Greg can't be there all the time. Do you have, what do you call it, a head brewer or a brewmaster, or what is that?
Yes. You know, at the end of the day, Greg is an orthopedic surgeon and I'm a dietitian. So we know that this is not an element that we could take on solely by ourselves. So we brought in a fantastic team. We have our head brewer is Ryan Umbach. He moved or transplanted to Indiana from Cincinnati Christian Moorline Lager House. And then we have our chef, Alan Sternberg, who has quite a resume as a 2-time James Beard Rising Star semifinalist. And third, we have Caleb France, who owns Cerulean Winona Lake, and he'll oversee our system support and service.
Wow. Some heavy hitters there, sounds like.
We do, yeah. You know what? If we're going to do it, we're going to go big.
Absolutely. So how many different types of beers are we talking about here? I know you probably don't know specifically, but...
Well, you know, we plan to start with 5 beers.
Okay.
And, you know, our goal is to have a little bit of something for everyone. So we have a beer called our lightest beer, OLB, literally for the darker beers that others enjoy as well. So we feel like we're trying to appeal to a lot of audiences in terms of our beer style.
And do you brew all of those there at Field, at the brewery?
We do, yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Our facility is actually unique in that we have 2 separate buildings joined by an outdoor dining and courtyard. So
Neat.
One building houses our brewery and restaurant, and the other building we set in place as a future distillery. The distillery cannot be attached to the brewery, so that's where the 2 buildings took shape.
Oh, is that like some law, some weird law?
Yes, but, okay. You know, we intend to craft distill, but you actually need your craft brewing license for 3 years before you can acquire your craft distilling license.
Interesting.
So in the meantime, it's going to be a neat lounge space and also an event space. Mm-hmm. So It just enhances kind of the hangout experience and the destination environment that we're trying to create.
I love it. Let's talk. Okay, we've talked about beer. Now, are these all on tap? I don't know what I'm talking
they
about.
Are.
But okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So can you pull the little lever? Okay. Very good. So let's talk about the food then. I know you had a hand in this, being a registered dietitian. What kinds of things will be on the menu?
You know, again, I feel like we have a little bit of something for everyone. So our menu includes gluten-free, some vegetarian, vegan offerings. It's diverse where, you know, it'll still have a little bit of that brewery feel, but at the same rate, we have a few less typical offerings, too, that might feel, I'm not sure even the word I'm looking for it, but just to appeal to a lot of audiences.
Yeah. Okay. So will we find your typical... Is it going to be kind of farm to table ish?
Yeah, we will have local ingredients as often as possible. We're going to do scratch made items as often as possible as well. So that's kind of where the brewery element also took shape, and the distillery, is that we really appreciate the craft behind great food and beverage and the process that goes to making all of those. So we wanted to be able to have everything as much as possible our own, including our beer and liquor.
Love it.
So, yeah, we're going to have scratch ingredients as often as possible, right down to we're making our own bread. We intend to have our own house-made sports drink for those who will feed from Grand Park in the sports setting. So,
ooh, you mean like your
house-made
own?
House-made ingredients as often as possible.
So let's talk about that. Your own, like, electrolyte kind of drink for the people coming in from the fields? Oh, I love that, Jackie. That's so brilliant. I love it.
It's just a fun item. Yeah. And you know what? We're unique in that we're actually opening as early as 7 a.m. We'll have our own espressos, espresso machines, and quick grab and go breakfast items as well.
Oh, my goodness. So you'll appeal to the athletes. You'll appeal to the parents after the long day. You'll appeal to young, teenage, old. Can anybody come in to the brewery?
Absolutely. Okay. Anybody, even your puppies.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, it's really an open
babies.
Setting. Again, we have that courtyard in the center with bocce ball as well. So,
That's
hopefully,
neat.
You know, ultimately, there's a lot of doors everywhere in the space. You can kind of come in anywhere. We kind of see this as welcome to our house, almost like a community center feel where you can casually just hang out with your computer or spend time with your family all together or have even a large gathering in terms of an event or bring in your sports team.
Boy, it sounds great. You're in it for the long haul too, right?
Yeah, we're all in. Yeah,
all in. So Field Brewery, you'll find it right on Main Street, downtown Westfield. I've had people tell me they've driven by and so I haven't done it myself, but they say it looks really cool as it's going up. When do you plan to open? I know maybe a soft opening. When is the plan for that?
Yeah, it looks like at this point we'll be opening somewhere around the time frame of September.
Okay. All right, good. So those fall sports.
Yes.
Perfect. If we want information, I'm on the Facebook page looking. Somebody is asking you to make pork rinds and pimento cheese. I don't know about that, but go ahead and like the page, Field Brewing, and you can get information not only on Facebook. Do you guys have a website as well?
We do. It's in development currently. It's a hiring page, though. So if you are looking for a career opportunity as well, feel free to jump on and hire, and our full page should be up before real soon.
I love that. So you're looking for servers and people back of the house, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, management kind of all through. You know, we've got a big project, so we'll need a lot of staff members and really great,
folks.
Good quality people. So.
Great. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jackie, thank you for catching us up on what you've been up to. Jackie Dykus, registered dietitian. Her book is Finish Line Fueling, An Essential Guide to Runner's Nutrition. It's a great read if you are an athlete. And then Field Brewing. Brewery coming to us in September in Westfield. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And you are listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
All right, thanks for tuning in. You're going to love listening to our next guest. You've seen him and heard him for many years in our market. Welcome to the show, Dick Wolfsey.
Oh, man, you said you're going to love our next guest, and I couldn't wait to see who it was.
You know what?
I am so disappointed.
Well, stick around. We'll have somebody more fun at some point.
Really.
Maybe. I don't know. But you are one of Indianapolis's most recognizable personalities. I mean, you've been on TV here for 30 plus years. Right. You've done thousands and thousands of stories and written many books and columns. So what are you up to now? You're still at Wish, aren't you?
I am at Wish on weekends, and I still write my column, which is really cool. I just picked up two more papers, so I'm in about 35, 37 newspapers around Indiana, and also picked up around the country. So I'm very lucky at my age still to be doing all that stuff. I love every minute of it.
So when you say you write for all these papers, are you a columnist?
Yes, I'm a humor columnist.
Some
of my books are compilations of those columns.
Yeah.
But I'm in the Franklin paper.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm in the Franklin paper every week. In fact, that's my oldest paper. I've written 975 columns for them.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, are your columns called Life in a Nutshell, or they're different in each paper?
In some newspapers they
are. Okay.
In some newspapers they are, but not all. Some of them just have my name, and that's enough to scare people.
So when did you start writing those columns? Have you been doing that all along?
I started in 2000.
Okay.
And I didn't think, well, this is funny. I had a lot of people that say, you know, we don't like to take a humor column because when we've done it in the past, the guy who writes it or the woman who writes it runs out of ideas in a year or two. So this is my 18th year. And it's funny because when I joined Channel 8 in 1991, the premise was that I would go out and do stories about, you know, interesting things going on in town. And I remember my boss in those days, Lee Giles, he said to me, well, he said, we're going to try this. He said, I don't know if this can last more than a year. that would have been, let's see, if I'd done it a year, that would have been 250 shows. And now I'm going on 7,500.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I think part of that is just unique to your personality. I mean, I know there's always something funny out there, but it's not easy for just the average person to not only come up with something, but to package it properly and in an entertaining fashion. I think that's a tribute to you and your personality that you've been able to sustain this for so long.
Well, I appreciate that. The thing that's kind of adrenaline boosting for me is I love walking into a situation. And, you know, there's a lot of different working parts and a lot of different people, and you've got to try to, get the point across in 2.5 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge for me. I can't wait to walk into that situation and make it work and see all the funny angles and all the human interest angles. So that's kind of the last.
Yeah. So you have books. We cannot, you know, let the interview go without talking about the world famous Barney. And by world famous, I mean that. Tell us a Barney story. Tell us how you Barney became a sidekick and where else he is famous, if you will.
Okay, well, he became a sidekick because he was a baby beagle, a puppy, was left on my doorstep in 1991, and I took him to work with me. And within a couple of weeks, he was howling all the time in the car, and I finally had to bring him with me because he didn't like being in the car. And all of a sudden, the station got phone calls, and the next thing you knew, he was a regular on the show. We did 2,700 shows together, I think. Mm-hmm. But there was the reason that people watched is because he was such a bad dog. And
he
I say bad, you know, people. He was a great dog, but he wasn't a good dog, if you know what I mean. I mean, he was always howling. He was always chewing something. He was running away.
He's naughty.
Wherever we went, he knocked over every. He was a beagle, and he knocked over every waste paper basket. Mm-hmm. So,
and I tell the story. He ate my lunch one day. I had my lunch. You came to the radio station I worked at with Barney, and he found my lunch on top of the desk and ate it.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite stories is Steve Schweitzer, who was our chief cameraman. Mm-hmm. Barney once ate his lunch. It was whatever it was, a bologna sandwich, a chicken sandwich. So I felt so bad for Steve that I went down to Shapiro's.
Wow.
And I got him a corned beef sandwich, which
nice.
Of course is a lot more better meal than a chicken sandwich.
Sure.
And every day Steve kept leaving his lunch on the floor so Barney would eat it. And after 3 weeks, I started to catch on. I said, Steve, you're just doing this because your wife is giving you a lousy peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You want Shapiro's.
And I'm coming back with a corned beef sandwich.
So. Oh, my gosh. So many Barney stories. There was a time when I can't remember if it was a veterinarian or a dog trainer that came to teach Barney how to behave. Tell me that story.
Oh, yeah. He took him for a week to teach him not to chew. And then when we did the show live on TV, Barney dug up the entire garden in front of our house. And then he chewed the microphone cable in half. So we actually never finished the segment. So that was Dr. Gary Sampson, and he lives in Florida now. So
that's one of
my favorite stories.
That is
good. So you're going to put some of these stories on the radio, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. They're on. They're on. It's too late. So, you know, you're multi-talented, multi-versatile. I don't know if that's a thing, multiversal, but you're versatile. You were part of the Indy Fringe Festival recently.
I did. That was the coolest thing. That was, for me, it was a little out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I am Jewish, and I love jokes, so I've always been fascinated by Jewish jokes. So I did a whole hour on Jewish jokes are very different from other jokes, because most Jewish jokes, the point is not necessarily to laugh, although you may and often do, but the point, a real Jewish joke, not a joke just because it has Jewish people in it, a real Jewish joke imparts a certain wisdom about the culture. So a lot of times you'll hear a Jewish joke and you go, oh, wow, that's really cool, but it wouldn't necessarily make you laugh. So I did a little presentation about that, telling a lot of jokes and talking about the culture and the history. So,
Yeah, I bet that was really entertaining. I wish I had known to go see that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I think that's very cool. Are you going to do that again, ever? Maybe?
No, I'm not.
No?
I may do it next year, but I'm definitely not doing it this
year. Okay.
But, yeah, once in a row is enough. Yeah.
Let me backtrack to Barney real quick. You wrote a book.
Sure.
Your bestseller is called Mornings with Barney, right?
Mornings with Barney, right.
And
in Europe, too?
Yeah. Was it Germany where it was a bestseller?
It was Germany, yeah. It was Germany.
Well,
it was the weirdest thing. They changed the title of the book from Morning with Barney to Breakfast with Barney, which, okay, fine.
Okay.
Then they put a different beagle on the cover.
A different dog.
That's the weirdest thing. And I'm thinking, what does he have? Some kind of contractual thing?
I don't know.
And it was not as cute a beagle.
No, I saw the pictures. But it sold. Yeah. People loved it.
Oh, it sold really well. In fact, to be honest with you, I sold more in Germany than I sold here. Because in Germany, it was all over the country. And here, it was just pretty much Indianapolis.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know you've written many books. Your most recent is called The Right Stuff.
Right. And it's a compilation of my columns.
Okay. Which leads us to something we're going to share with our listeners right now. You and I had a conversation when I came to interview you for Boomer TV about Life in a Nutshell, which is your column. But you also have a radio presentation. It's a 3-minute presentation of humor from Dick Wolfson.
Well, what I actually do is, and which you'll be getting soon, I hope, is I actually have recorded several hundred of the columns. So and if you can't read it because it's in every newspaper or you just like an audio version, then when you're in the radio listening to your station, you can turn it on and, whatever we introduce it, and then you'll hear me actually reading my own column, which was kind of weird for me to do because I wrote it to be written. So to
right,
speak.
Not to be but spoken.
Not to be spoken, but when I do them, this is interesting. Sometimes they come out better. And sometimes they don't work as well. I think it's an interesting journalistic thing.
Huh. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, we want to introduce them on Boomer Radio. We're going to begin by with this episode and tag it with one of Dick Wolfsey's Life in a Nutshell. And then each and every Saturday, we hope you will enjoy it as much as we do. And we'll tag the show with a 3-minute feature with Dick Wolfsey, Life in a Nutshell. What do you say?
Well, I think it's great. I hate the sound of my voice. And I think most people do. Well, you were in radio
for right.
a long time. Do you like the sound of your voice?
No, but I'm
like
used
it,
to
but
it.
Do you like it?
No, but I'm used to it. And I think that's most people are like, that's not what I sound like. And I say, yes, that's exactly what you sound like. You may not like it, but we that have
but
done
by
it
way,
for many
you know
years.
What the scientific explanation for that is?
I don't.
Okay, because other people hear you through the air, but you're really hearing yourself through the bones in your head.
Right. Okay.
And so it's a different sound.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Now we know. See how smart you are? You're not only funny,
see how smart
but you're,
I am?
You're brilliant.
I was hoping you'd point that out. Yeah, exactly.
Come on the show anytime. Oh, wait, you're going to.
Yes, right.
Dick, thank you for your time. And we're going to conclude with thanks. And then here we go. Our very first Life in a Nutshell with Dick Wolfsey on Boomer Radio.
It's time for Life in a Nutshell with Dick Wolfsey.
Every marriage needs a little bit of an edge. I don't want Mary Ellen and me to end up like our friends, the Rodmans, who, up until their 27th wedding anniversary, couldn't keep their mitts off each other. But when they got back from celebrating in the Bahamas, they sued each other for divorce. They were so happy that they didn't realize how miserable they really were. "I have an idea," I told Mary Ellen. "This evening, I'll act out all your bad habits, and you can act out all of mine. That way, we'll both get a better picture of just how much we annoy each other. That will add a little spice to our marriage." I jotted down a few of Mary Ellen's little peculiarities. I didn't want to overdo it because I knew what a challenge it was going to be for my wife to create a comparable list. That night, after I returned from playing golf, Mary Ellen arrived home. She began by not shutting the door behind her so that every fly and bug could get into the house. She also tracked a lot of mud in on her shoes, but she wiped her feet on the throw rug. Before she kissed me hello, she went upstairs and put on Fox News to see what annoying things Sean Hannity was saying. After surfing six other channels, she came downstairs, but she left the TV on in the bedroom so I could hear it throughout the house. Then she popped open a can of beer and guzzled it. What ran down her chin, she wiped off with her sleeve. Then she put on the living room TV so now we could hear both sets at the same time. Finally, she kissed me hello and told me she had done nothing all day but play golf and then asked me what I had made for dinner. Before I answered, she broke open a box of Pop-Tarts, ate half of one, then stuffed the other half back in the box and left it on the counter. Then, to nail me on my most annoying habit, she searched every room in the house pretending she had lost her cell phone. Now it was my turn to be Mary Ellen. First, I took all the plates and glasses in the sink and put them in the dishwasher, but not before I rearranged all the dirty utensils and put them in the proper compartments. Then I turned off all the lights throughout the house that had been left on all day. I went upstairs and put on a pair of sweatpants and an old flannel shirt, just like Mary Ellen does. Next, I came downstairs and went through the mail, carefully opening each letter, throwing away the advertisements, and meticulously putting the bills in a stack. Suddenly, I was out of ammunition. Worse, I was shooting with a pistol. My wife was packing a Gatling gun. This wasn't nearly the fun I thought it was going to be. I sat down on the couch a little depressed. My wife sat next to me and put her hand on my leg that was bouncing up and down. "I wish I had never come up with this stupid idea, Mary Ellen," I said. "How do you manage to live with me?" "Oh, it's easy," she said. "You're habit forming."
Life in a Nutshell is presented by Dick Wolsey. He can be seen weekends on Wish TV and is an author and humorist with columns in 40 newspapers in central Indiana and around the country. Email Dick at Wolsey@AOL.com or visit him on Facebook.
This has been Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson. Join us again next Saturday at 4:30.